Today we are going to look at Luke 16, and the Luke 16 is the parable of the shrewd manager. It said like that, the title. But I want to share with you the fact that many commentators have said different things about this. Leon Morris, as a theologian, said this parable is notoriously difficult. It's difficult because different people interpreted it differently, and so perhaps you will expect me also to interpret it differently as well. But the most important thing is, like, we are going to look at the text. Normally, when we share the Word of God, different genres are approached differently. And this is a parable, and we know when we preach through the parables, you need to hear the parable first, and then there is an interpretations, and then what are the lessons that we learn from the parables. And so it's not just like a narrative that we go through and explain, or perhaps to break into headings, which I will attempt to do, but you need to know that this text is unusual, and it has difficult parts as well. Nevertheless, is the Word of God, and is coming from the mouth of Jesus himself, teaching us some wisdom and principles here, if we are going to please him. So if I want to commence my sermon today by saying this, if I must ask you a question today about what you think about money, where do it come from? What shouldn't you use it for? I am sure I will have different answers, some of which will be really good answers, and I think also there will be some shocking ones as well. So Jesus didn't want his disciples or even his followers in general, even us today, to come up with our own understanding, to make up our own minds on how we should view money and how we should use them. On the contrary, Jesus told this parable to his disciples so that they will not be ensnared and entangled as they go about their service to God. And so Jesus wants to help his people as they go and witness to the gospel of God's grace. So as they live also in this world, and we know the world uses money for different purposes, and most of the times with no reference to God. So what is this parable is all about, and what did Jesus say? Well, if I can just take you to read only the two verses. Let me read them. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer." So Jesus is telling us there was a man who was very rich. And so he assigned a manager to look after his wealth and to do business. And so what do we see here? And this is the first two verses. Let me say also another few verses. The verse 3, the manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I will do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he called in each one of his master's debtor. He asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 800 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly and make it 400. Then ask the second, "And how much do you owe my master?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. So 1 to 7. So if I have to put a title for this eight verses or seven verses. So what is that Jesus is saying? Jesus says, our use of money is momentary or temporary. So our use of money is just for now. And then from 8 to 9, he will say, but it can be used for eternal blessings, for what is good. So Jesus here says, the wealth of this world do not belong to his his disciples, do not belong to his followers. So Christians are only managers or stewards. They are only stewards. And you don't have money. They are not yours. You are only using them now and finished. So that is why Jesus said there was a man who was rich and a manager. So we just pay attention to the word manager. So, and this manager was accused of wasting possessions. And Jesus went on to say, to show us in fact that this, we are only managers. He says in verse 12b, he says, if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? So again, these wealth are not yours. So you are a manager, they are not yours. And thirdly, he says also that, he called this wealth worldly wealth. You see, another translation calls it unrighteous mammon. And mammon is the Aramaic word for money. So don't put your heart on it fully. Don't make it to be the most important things in your life. So for the sake of memorizing, you need to remember that you are a manager. The money belongs to someone else, and also there are bad money. There are from this world, and I think it's something many scholars didn't talk a lot about it. So I think most of them, they're running to say like these are God's money, God's wealth. Well, they are not. According to the scriptures here, they are not. But what gives them meaning is what we use them for, whether we use them for God or not. Yeah, so these are not God's money. They are the world systems. But because God has put plans where he is governing this world, he allows the world to use all these things. But ultimately, he got the best plans for the money and what they can be used for, especially for his people. And we see what this text is trying to drive us to. So money has the power. Because they are bad, they have the power, or it has the power. So actually, you can talk about more money. You don't have plural for money, not monies, especially for us. The English is not our first language, so I will refer to it sometimes like as plural, and some other times as singular. So bear with me with that. So money has the power to bring someone down, even the best of us. So Jesus warns that he's trying to teach us, because also his disciples, they picked it up. Paul says in 1 Timothy, and I think in the children talks we heard about it, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered away or from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So money, they have the power to destroy someone's life. They have the power to take us away. So Jesus warns this. And then now we go further to see. When this man was accused, and the report, the rumors went to his master that he was mismanaging the money. Perhaps we are not clear here whether he was too generous to his customers, to the point where others observed that this man is just running business in an unusual way. And so they reported this to his manager, and his manager said he was going to remove him. So this is what is happening here. So he was told, settle the account. And so you have to do put your account right. So look at the shrewd manager. So he clever. And so when he was told that give an account What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. And so he got a problem now, and see how he is going to act. So this manager said he knew what he was going to do. This manager knew what he will do. If I pause and I say, many of us sometimes, we don't know what to do, especially when we are faced with issues like this. And perhaps that is why some people think that they can hold to money, because that is the only way they can solve their problems. And so this man, he thought of something, what he was going to do. So he reduced the amount of money and debt to his master, so that these people will welcome him in their homes after. That is what we have seen in verse 5 to 7. So why he did this? Why he reduced all this money? See what happens in the reduction he has made. So the first client he contacted, his master's debtor, one by one, he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" The man replied, 100 measures of olive oil. So equivalent to 850 gallons, so a lot. It has been said, I read somewhere in one of the commentators, I think is a guy by Craig Skinner, in the introduction of the New Testament, he said, 100 measures of olive oil equivalent to 850 gallons, and also the yield, a yield of 150 olive tree, and it was worth about 1,000 denarii. That may be like 3 to 6 months' wages, or if not 3 years. So this man, he reduced them. He said to him, "Take your bill and write down 80. Write down 50. Take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. So very reduced. The second one also, which was 100 measures of wheat, with a measure of wheat, 100 cores, about 1,000 bushels, represented about 100 acres, and was worth 2,500 denarii. So the manager said to this person, "Take your bill and write 80. So this man, he acted in this way, and he reduced really a lot of amount of money. And so, and why he did that, he was trying to help these people now, so that they will help him later. Let me say this: in those days, actually, people were very conscious of favor that is extended to you. So you cannot overlook this. So a mutual benefit was a matter of requirements in those communities. And the manager acted in such a way that he has gained the favor of these people. And so the principle that our Lord admires of this manager, as we will see later, is because of his action. Because this man, He acted in this way, and Jesus, in his reaction, he says in verse 8, the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. He acted in this way because actually he has secured a future for himself, because he's going to lose his job. So Jesus here, that is why many people say this is very difficult. So is Jesus saying this man who has acted in this way, that is good? Well, many of us sometimes we think even we are more righteous than Jesus himself. And I think many Christians in our day-to-day, they would say, "Oh, I wouldn't want to do something like this. I wouldn't want to do something like this." Jesus also was not focusing on the actions. Jesus was focusing on the principle. Let us not take this really wrongly, that Jesus was overlooking this. No, at this point in time, he was dealing with this issue of what is, where are we investing, where we should be looking as his followers. So Jesus doesn't just talk about everything at times. He deals with issues. He takes one topic. And this is the heart of the parables today. And as we will see later, Jesus praised this and admires this manager because he had a sharp judgment. And his judgment, Jesus could see that was really to the point. He figured out what will secure his future. And many of us today, we live in this world. We don't know what should secure our future. And in fact, many Christians today, they live as if there is no judgment to come or there are no rewards. If I have to talk to you about the rewards that Jesus promised his followers, or the whole Bible talks about even the crowns that will be given to those who persevere, they will be given the crown of life. That is in James. And also even to the elders who have served God faithfully, they will be given the crown of glory. So there are a lot of consequences for what we do here. And Jesus is pointing into this matter right now. He says, where are you investing? Look at this man who is from this world, as you will see. This man, he figured it out. And Jesus lamented. You could feel it. He lamented that his followers would not live in a way that shows sharp powers of judgment or true judgment, wisdom. Some people think that holding to their money is the wisdom. Well, it's not. And as we will see, that is the meaning of the shrewdness. Jesus, once he lamented this, the people of this world, this is what Jesus has said when he saw this man acting in this way. And actually, some people, they said the master who commended the dishonest manager is not the landowner. Perhaps Jesus here in the text, he paused and he commended this man. It's not the manager. Manager didn't commend him for this. But I believe this is the master, Jesus himself. He commended this man. He said, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kinds. They know how to do good to their own. They exploit the wealth that are not theirs to do good to their friends. And also they will reap the benefit of being so kind to their own. And Jesus says, these people are the children of this age. The children of this age. People who live only for this world and have no hope for the future. And yet they know how to live. They live well. They make one another happy. How many of miserable Christians today in our midst? Because he's God's people choose not to be kind to their own. The people of the light, Jesus said that. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light, than the people who live for the future, for the glory, for heaven. Jesus says, this can't be. This is not right. He lamented this. He said, and we know this. We have seen this in the Dead Sea of Scrolls. So there was a reference to the people of God as the people of the light. And God is special people, children of the light. This is a reference to the believers. And then we are called to walk in the light. So we can be called also the people of the light, the children of the light. Those who walk in the light of God, revelation. Those who live in the light of God. Those who live in the light of the truth of God. So, and then the children of darkness are much more shrewd in their dealings with their own kinds, exploiting this bad wealth rightly. Because these are not ours, they are bad and they are unrighteous. They can cause a lot of damage. And we see in the world in which we live today what the money can do. Well, Jesus says here, use money for eternal gain. Use money for eternal gain. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. Jesus now here urges. So this is a point of teaching. Jesus urges us. And I urge you today as you listen to me. Use this money that are not yours. This money that belong to someone else. This money that Jesus describes as bad, unrighteous money. Jesus said, you can use them. You can use them in such a way that others will be blessed. Use them. Help others. Don't just gather them for yourself. So they may come to know Jesus Christ. You don't know what your money can do when you share them. And the way you share, you share them says something about where your hopes lies. Where are you investing? In fact, today, we want God to do much more for us when we are doing less for Him. When we are not applying His words to our lives. When we are not living the way we should be living, holding loosely to the things of this world. So that even here in this world, we can begin to know the flood of His blessings. We can know the revival. We can know salvation. People coming to the kingdom. Seeing people delivered from their bondages. Seeing people. Because this is the attitude of hearts. This is faithfulness. This shows faithfulness to God. So Jesus stresses this. Use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. So make other people feel happy. They will be friends with you when you do them good. They know that you are friends. You are a friend. You are not harmful to them. In fact, you want to bless them. That is why you share this with them. So that when it is gone, you will be welcome into eternal dwelling. Jesus, he began back in the previous chapters by pointing out to the fact that blessed are the poor, for the kingdom of heaven belong to them. Poor who have nothing. Because those who have nothing, they are mindful of their need. And sometimes, and most of the time, they look out for where the help might come from. And Jesus also, he taught, even in chapter 15, about when you put a luncheon or a banquet, do not just invite only your family. You do not just invite your friends. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. So that in this world they may not give you anything. They may not invite you back. But before God, God will reward you. And Jesus now also, not only from this text, looking forward in verse 19 and in Luke 16, you know the history of Lazarus. The Lazarus. He was a poor man from verse 19. This man, he was so sick. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell down from rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died. This is a very straightforward story. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Another translation, to Abraham's bosom. So he was received by Abraham. He was received by Abraham because Abraham himself, he was a man who did good. He believed God and was credited to him as righteousness, a righteous man. He went there. And so he is welcoming this poor man. You see, so the Bible, Jesus is saying, well, look, do good to people. You never know. They will recognize you in heaven. They will say, this is the man who has loved us. The man who didn't hold to his own resources. The man who used his resources wisely. The man who used everything for God's glory, for his master. So the history of Lazarus. And also we see in Ephesians 4:28, we should work so that we have something to contribute to the needs of the people. So even in this world, we are encouraged also really to make money. I was talking shortly before this sermon with Jonathan Wentworth, and I said to him, well, look, people of God, those who want to live for God, they are thinking of to come up with ways to serve God effectively. And I think many Christians would want to get into another type of ministries, to work themselves by, like Paul, Apostle Paul, to be tent makers, so that they have something to contribute to the needs of the people around them. And this is a message to individuals, actually. It's not for the whole church as together. We know sometimes we come and ask the church to contribute money to the work of God, but here Jesus is saying, you as individuals, what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, Jesus says, use this money now for eternal purposes. This is what verse 9 says. Use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcome into the eternal dwelling. Certainly, there will come a time when you will no longer use this money. And to your surprise, if all you have done is to gather them and have not done anything associated to do with the kingdom of God. And I encourage you today even not to think like, oh, well, look, I come to church, I pay offerings and I pay these things. That is not what really matters here. It's what is your heart feeling? Are you giving cheerfully? Are you giving for a cheerful, for God loves a cheerful giver. For God loves those who have decided in their heart that all that they have, they will just put them as disposals at the feet of Christ, and to use them for his glory and glory alone. Use. This is incredible. This is the most important points in the history. Use them, because I said earlier that we can use them. We can use them for eternal blessings. Though they are bad, we can use them, because there will come a time when we will not find them. When our life finishes here, we will just go and find out what we have used our monies for. I was told a story by a pastor, Dave Petrisco. He was a missionary to Egypt for many, many years, and then he died in Egypt, actually, tragically, in 2006. So he told us a story one day that he went, he was called by a congregation, and he went to live in a community in North America, I think in Canada. And he said they settled with his wife, and one day, a few days, they observed that there was a lady living with her husband. They didn't have children. They were not Christians. And so they decided to invite them to their homes. And he said, we put a dinner for them, and they came. There was no picture to show whether they were Christian or not. And then nothing at all, no Christian music. And when they served the dinner, they didn't even pray. And then after they had dinner, and then the lady started to say to herself, there is something here. She was going around the house. There is something here, but I don't know what is this. And then she was asked, what is this? And she said, I feel like God is here. And Pastor Dave told us that a few weeks later, these people came to us when he revealed to them that he was a pastor. So they came and they were disciples. And then a few weeks later, they were baptized and they became believers. So Pastor Dave even used this normal thing to provide a dinner and a fellowship and kindness to these poor people who were only living for this world, but they came to know Christ. Let me progress a little bit. We see also that when we use this money faithfully, when we use this money in a small way, so it's a small thing that can lead to eternal rewards. That is the verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Even this money that seemed to be not significant, not holy, that even God really didn't really care so much about them, to give us a certain currency to use. It's not hard for God. Today he can just design a Christian note that can be used worldwide. No, he left this for his wisdom. But he says this, you need to be even faithful in how you handle this money, because they can have eternal consequences. If God himself, he will see whether you are faithful or not. Whoever can be trusted with very little. When trusted means when people can see, or even God himself can see that you are handling this little wonderfully and fearfully, and in the light of what lies ahead, in the light of God's glory, so you will be trusted with much. So the much is what is going to come. That is what Jesus says. So you will be, when you come into the eternal dwellings, you will be given what is yours. That is what he says in verse 12. And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? There is a property of your own. There is a wealth of your own in the future. But it is much, more better than the wealth of this world. It's so wonderful. It says you will be called God's friends. And you will see Christ face to face. And some, I'm afraid that some of us will be greatly disappointed. Because actually the way we live in this world determines where we are going as well. Some who have claimed to be Christians, they may end up not being in the kingdom of God, because of the way they live and the way they did and honor Christ. The unrighteous money contrasts with the riches of heaven that God alone can give. If people would not use money in a way that pleases God, people should not be surprised if they are exempted from the true riches of God's gifts. So use this world money in such a way, when you come into God's presence, you will be praised and given what is yours. So Jesus encourages you to use money to help people rather than accommodating it for yourself, because you are only God's mess managers of anything you have. Finally, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. And that is a summary of all this that has gone. And Jesus is saying our absolute service belongs to God, not money. We cannot serve two, money or God at the same time. Because being a servant, that means you are a slave, literally a slave to a one master. And so we are called to be only servant to one master, and that is God. So we have a choice to make, whether we serve God or we with our wealth, or we serve God, we serve the wealth themselves for a dead end and for no benefit and no glory to God. For craving after money means we forsake God. And if we are not serving God, and then we are serving mammon. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And that is true. We cannot love two opposing servants. We know a king or masters. So Jesus tells us that if we put our hearts on money and we use them only for the things of this world, we are in danger of being labeled as the servant of mammon. You see, we live in a very dangerous times. And I know myself, having come from another place where there were a lot of people who were suffering. But I saw small things give them great joy and hope, especially poor people who had heart for God. They cry out to God to help them to meet their needs. And many believers also were able to help and assist. And also even non-believers were assisted by believers, and they turned to Christ. Because when you love someone for no reason, just simply because you are following your master, he will abandon what they have, what you are doing. They will look beyond the attitude with which you have served them, and they will find out that you are honoring your Savior. And guess what? they may turn to love Jesus Christ. So actions that we carry out, they are very important as God's people. And so that we don't blame God when things are hard, even when there is no revival and the heavens seem to be closed. I'm tempted to say that we have closed the heavens. We have closed the heavens because of our attitude and the way we live as His people. And I know many people where when you give yourself fully, they may think that you are not acting wisely. They say always, be wise. And the wisdom has been used as a covering to our covetousness and our love of money and love of the things of this world. But God today is challenging us and saying, if you are to experience His love, His power, His grace, you are to abandon the ways of this world and the way you look to the money. This money are nothing, are bad, are unrighteous. They were not meant for us to use them. But God in His wisdom, He has placed them in our presence. Guess what? That is why if you go today in Melbourne here and you just start to get the money from the floor or from the ground, that is not possible. That is not the way. Even the non-believers wouldn't accept that. Even the whole country cannot accept that. That is why you need to work for that. Even with working, you are interacting with the world. How are we going to be the light of the world if we are not going to interact with the people? And the only places where we can interact with others is to be at workplaces. And that is why God says, okay, you just go where they are getting the money. But your heart is not for the money. It's to interact with them because of your attitude and who you live for. So this money, they are snares. And don't believe these people that are in the world. Just believe your master who gave His life on the cross of Calvary and bought you a life that no one can take from you and a life that goes on to eternity. Don't let money to be your greatest problem. Don't let money to be the hindrance from honoring and glorifying your master who deserves all things. We love singing and we sing a lot of beautiful songs. But if we are called to apply the words of the songs, perhaps we will be the first people to run away. Even the authors of the song themselves, they may not want to do, all to Jesus I surrender. We sing these things, but are we surrendering all to Christ or not? No one can serve two masters. Use this world wealth to help others so that when you come to heavens, you will be given your own riches. That speaks of how you had lived your life here on earth as a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen.